Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Let's open God's precious word to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The church of Corinth is one bad church. They just got rowdy people. They've got sinners. They've got just everything. But you know what? I think Paul liked this church. He wrote them two letters. He visited often. And just an interesting group of people. And but right now they're dealing with a problem. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to adjust ourselves, to see if we're trusting the Holy Spirit, and to wake up. You've made the trouble to get up, get dressed, get here. So get in the Spirit so that it matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this book. It's a light to our path. It's a guide in our life. And we're seeing in our own country what happens when you leave the Bible behind. All the horrible things that happen to a nation, to a people, to a person when they leave the Bible behind. So, Father, we thank you for this book. And we thank you now for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see, Father. We pray this in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. It is now actually reported that there is immorality, sexual immorality. Remember the Greek word we studied last week. Among you. Immorality, sexual immorality of such a kind as does not exist or practiced among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. This is incest. And incest, as far as marriage and all, was prohibited even by the Roman law. But it's also prohibited by Jewish law. Now, what we're getting ready to do, I wanted to end last week, but we didn't get time to it. So if you'll turn to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. We've got some things we need to note about Leviticus 18. Okay, let's read. Let's just take a few moments here. And let's read part of Leviticus 18 and to get ourselves into the momentum that we need to be in for this study. So let's begin reading at Leviticus 18, verse 1. Leviticus 18, 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do. And it's really interesting, that little phrase. This isn't what we're here for, but and you study various books of the Old Testament. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And it's really interesting, the purpose of divine discipline. Purpose of divine discipline to Israel, know that I am God. Know that I am your Lord. And so it really is a powerful phrase to know this. Speak to the sons of Israel, say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, where they were brought out of. Nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. So we're going to note that these things are pretty rampant all across the area from the land of Canaan down through Egypt. You shall not walk in their statutes, in their manner of life. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes, to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. And if you recognize that the Lord is your God, people, it influences your life. And as we move away from God and the Lord and the Bible in America, we're seeing what happens. We abandon everything. There are no absolutes. So this is so important to understand and remember. He is your Lord. He is your God. All right, verse 5. So, you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach any blood relative of his to uncover nakedness. I am the Lord. In other words, there's no sex between relatives. You shall not uncover, that's a technical idiom phrase for having sex, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, that is, the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother. You are not to uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. Now, do you understand that? They are one. To uncover the wife is to uncover the man. So that's what that phrase means. So look at it, verse 8. Be sure you grasp it. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. And he's already been told, do not uncover the nakedness of your father in the previous verse. Verse 9. The nakedness of your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether born at home or born outside, that's outside of the home, just doesn't matter. So, their nakedness you shall not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover. For their nakedness is yours, your relatives. Verse 11. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, born to your father, she is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She's your father's blood relative. In other words, no sex with your aunt. Putting it in our modern day of terms. Verse 13, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. So the woman, the man related to her, it's her, it's his body that you're uncovering, as well as hers. Verse 17, you shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and of her daughter, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are blood relatives. It is lewdness. Now, this has been going on for a long time. This isn't something we came up with in American history. This goes back to Egypt and the land of Canaan. So, this is the perversion of the body. Verse 18, and you shall not marry a woman in addition to her sister as a rival while she is alive. Well, you know what that means. Yet, kind of like more than two cooks in the kitchen. You're going to have a fight. Well, more than two wives in the bedroom, going to cause trouble. To uncover her nakedness. Also, verse 19, also you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual impurity. And you shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. Neither shall you give any of your offspring to offer them to Moloch, this is the god, a heathenistic god, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. Also, you shall not have intercourse with an animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. Well, I think that pretty much covers it. And let's say amen, and that's it. Well, let's note some things as we go through our study. Prohibition against incest and improper sex, sexual immorality. The list is not complete, but it is designed to be all-inclusive. It's one of those kind of things, and if I've missed you here, anything like these would be the idea behind that. There's a great deal more on sexual immorality in chapters 19 through 20. Actually, through 21, but 19 through 20. 18 through 20 are very strong on the whole issue of sexual immorality. Now, what I want you to do is look at verse 6 of chapter 18. Verse 6. Verse 6, none of you shall approach any blood relative of his to uncover the nakedness. I am the Lord. Uncover the nakedness refers to sexual involvement. Oral sex, sexual activity, whatever it may be. All right, verse 7. Uncovering the nakedness of your father by uncovering his wife. They are one before God. Got to understand this. And then look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Born at home or born outside. Half sister, full sister. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're not to have sex with them. Now, what I want to do next is to note a few words in this these 23 verses. I want to note a few words. So, point one. Note from verse 2 and 4 that morality involves relationships with one another. Look back at 18 verse 2. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. Speak to all of them. Verse 4, you are to perform my judgments and keep my commandments to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. Live with one another in accord to the statutes designed by God. So, morality involves personal relationships with one another. And morality begins with a relationship with the Lord. This is why he said, you got to recognize who I am first. Then it will direct your lives. That's what I'm talking about in America. If we still had the Bible in our judicial system, the Bible would guide. Throw the Bible out, you don't have that any longer. All that you have is the wisdom of man. And we know about the wisdom of man. This is why historically morality always accompanied Christianity. Because, first of all, we have a relationship with Christ. That determines our relationship with one another, or should. And as that society, any society moves away from the Bible, immorality is going to increase. Immorality will be justified. And that's what's happening in our own country. We're justifying more and more immorality, saying it's wonderful, saying it's right, and encouraging it. Point two. From verse 3, not do as others. Look back at verse 3 so you see what we're dealing with. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt, where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. I find it rather interesting. There are countries around the world. They've got laws. You cannot watch certain movies that come out, pictures that come out of the United States. Do not do as the Americans. There are certain countries in the world today that have abandoned homosexuality. Do not do as the Americans. And we are now Egypt. We are now the land of Canaan. We are the evil country. And they do not want to be like us any longer. And you've always remember, and I should have gotten them and had them written out, But the formula for taking America down by the communists is very simple. The second or third one was destroy their morality. Morality makes you a strong person. If you destroy morality, you make them a weak person. So this becomes very important in regard to the whole function of man living with man. So under point two here, from verse three, do not do as others do. Now, we're not going to have to be able to relate this to nations. We're just going to relate it to each other in our life. Do not do as they do. The courts may say that homosexuality is fine and encourage it. They may say that a lot of things are fine. Do not do as the Americans do. We are Christians. We are governed by Christ. We are governed by what is going on in the Bible. That's what we should be governed by. And it's not a, remember we studied this in Romans. It's not a matter of what harm does it do. This does no harm. Why? What's wrong with it? That's not the criterion of what is moral. It's what does the Lord say. Now, point three. You will notice we read through these verses on morality and immorality, the emphasis on relationship, and what happens when you do not recognize and respect these relationships. With every one of these, in chapters 19 and 20, there are penalties. Some of them death. Some of them just being taken out of the land. So these are accompanied with things that will happen. Point four. Prohibition against incest begins in verse 6. Let's look at verse 6 again. None of you shall approach any blood relative of his to uncover nakedness. I am the Lord. That's just the beginning place. Incest is forbidden by the Lord. What's wrong with it? Number one, God says no. God says don't do it. That's what's wrong with it. Whether you can find out anything or not. Whether you understand how the body affects the soul, how having an intersexual relationship with a member of the family breaks down the whole concept of the family, of the nation, doesn't matter if you understand that or not. God said no. Five. We start off noting one's effect of immorality, and in verse 17, let's take a look. Verse 17, we have one of our first words that I want to draw attention to. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are blood relatives. It is lewdness. This is our first word, descriptive word of describing some of these things. Lewdness. Now, we could spend a long time studying this Hebrew word, but right out of the lexicon, it starts in the mind. Lewdness starts in the mind. And then describes these thoughts, plans as wicked or lewdness, sin. Subpoint one. This is why Jesus Christ declares that if you think sin, you're guilty of all sin. If you think sexual immorality before God, you're guilty of immorality. Where does that come from? Well, in the Hebrew, it comes from this word. Because the word, the Hebrew word lewdness, begins in the mind. And what's happening in the mind is you have thoughts that you should not have about a family member that will break down your family relationship, family loyalty, family unity. It will break it down. So what Jesus Christ drew from that and from the whole concept of what's going on is if you even think a sin, it's a sin before God. Subpoint two. This is what we have seen in introduction. That before God, these acts of immorality have severe effects on one's thought process. When we started 1 Corinthians 5, we developed how morality affects the soul and the body. So subpoint two, that before God, the acts of immorality have severe effects on one's thought process. Thought process. And when we're dealing with sexual immorality, we're dealing with a thought process between a man and a woman, in its right form, between a man and a woman, your thought process before this woman. Now, if you're promiscuous, you have a lowering thought process toward all women, or toward all men. And these are things that break down the whole family structure, and therefore the nation, in God's plan. So it all is in the mind, people. That's why understanding the Word of God is in the mind. So, this is what, so point three, to think, subpoint three, to think or to do any of these damages the soul. To think or do any of the things talked about in 1 through 23 damages the soul's thinking on relationships with people, and I might add, with animals. It lowers your whole thought process about the structure of society, the nation, the family, individuals. So this becomes extremely vital in our development of a sound society. And America is breaking down its moral structure, and therefore we do not have sound thinking toward our society, toward women, toward men, toward marriage, toward family, toward the nation. Subpoint four. We are in Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, and we're making some summary points. All right, subpoint four. First, loss of respect of self. Your whole thought process about yourself begins to change. Your thought process about others, other women, other men, begin to change. And it finally destroys your relationship with God because it distorts your respect of God. God said, don't do this. You do it, you do it, you do it, and eventually God doesn't matter. The other persons do not matter. God does not matter. This is a wonderful process of breaking down a nation if you break down the morals of that nation. That's what's going on in America. That's planned, people. That's planned. You take out the Bible, destroy the morals, and now you're going to have to come in and control them. And we are the ones that will control. We are the ones that will take care of everything. So these are the things that are going on by design. Subpoint five. The concept behind lewdness. Verse 17. The concept behind lewdness is the crime against others. It is lewd, low, wicked. This is what you are in your soul. And this is what you do to others. You lower them. So this is we got to understand the relationship between the soul and the body. It's a powerful relationship before God. It's the way He designed and created our souls and our bodies. Now we're ready to go back to major point six. Major point six. To demonstrate the effect on the soul and upon relationships of immorality like incest, note verse 18. We have the word rival. Verse 18, and you shall not marry a woman in addition to her sister as a rival while she is alive to uncover her nakedness. Sets up a rival. This is seen in the relationship of two sisters that Jacob married. A good study of this whole verse is a study of Jacob marrying two sisters and all that the horrible things that evolved out of that. How they became enemies. So there are just so many stories of this. Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. It just set up a rival that is not designed by God, and it is very unhealthy for interaction of personal relationships. God cares about relationship. Remember what the word faith is. The word faith is a relationship between creature and creator. Love is a word between creatures. But faith, love can, eventually should become a relationship between creature and creator. But it starts out with faith. Faith is the word of relationship between creature and creator. That's how we're bound with God, by faith. God cares about relationships. It's not that He's against any kind of fun, if you want to call these things fun. any of this kind of deal. He is for healthy relationships that will strengthen and are healthy for who and what you are. It's what God is looking out for. Verse 7. Note in verse 20, when one gets involved in these things, to be defiled with her. Look at verse 20. We have a new word. And you shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife, to be defiled with her. So we've had that which is lewd and lewdness. We've had rival. And now we've got the word defiled. Now this Hebrew word describes what happens in these immoralities and one of the reasons why they're forbidden. The Hebrew word means to desecrate. Desecrate. Defile. Make unclean. People, we don't think that way about sex in America anymore. We don't think that way. Parents don't teach their children these things. Don't do it. Why not do it? I've done a little bit and it's fun. Why are you saying don't do it? We need to sit down and talk and point out and bring out all these truths about the soul and the body. The body and the soul. We need to do this. The sexual drive is a powerful, powerful drive in the human creature, in all animal creatures, by the way. But we have to be taught the truth of these things. So in verse 20, so to be defiled with her, to be desecrated, to make unclean, to make impure. Please understand what is being said here. This is what happens when one gets involved in any of these kind of immoralities. They defile your own soul. They defile your own thinking. It's about me. It pleases me in your mind. It pleases me temporally. These are the things that we are controlled by in the flesh. Remember, the flesh battles the spirit. And when we do these things, we defile ourselves. We defile the other person. So they defile their own soul, they defile their thinking, they defile their thinking of their own bodies, they defile their thinking of their own marriage, they defile the thinking of their own relationship with God. It's defiled. Becomes desecrated. So they cause their bodies and their souls and the bodies and souls of the others to be desecrated, impure. You are contaminating them and yourselves. I don't see anything wrong. We had sex. I went home. She went back to her husband. I went back to my wife. And big deal. What's the harm here? I don't see any harm. I didn't die. I didn't break out into disease. What happened? People, you desecrated your own soul. You desecrated your own thinking about marriage. The oneness of marriage. The purity of marriage. What God has designed is something beautiful. You've desecrated it. That's why whom you marry is vital. I've always been amused in 37 plus years in the ministry. What are the grounds of divorce? And once in a while I say it, but every time I want to say it, well, what about the grounds for the marriage? What were your grounds for getting married? That's more important to me than your grounds for getting a divorce. Why did you marry? Was it of God? Were you led of God? These are the kinds of things that are greatly important. So, this whole attitude about marriage and the family institution is the stability of a nation. And people, I'm sorry to say, the holy body of Christ has contributed to the downfall of our nation. The whole body of Christ, the holy body of Christ. I mean, the number of divorces in the Christian umbrella are tremendous. number of remarriages and remarriages. We just make shambles of our marriage. That's why the Bible prohibits you marry someone, you divorce, and then you marry someone else. You can't go back and marry that first person again. There aren't very many people that I just will not marry. I'll marry two unbelievers. I'll marry two believers. And I'll marry two believers that have divorced. But I will not marry someone under 17. And I've been told by lawyers that's fine because I'm not stopping them from getting married. They can go to somewhere else to get married. And I will not marry someone that's been married, divorced, and married someone else, divorced, and then come back and want to remarry again. I'm sorry, people. Somewhere along the way, we've got to respect this institution of marriage. It's the stability of a nation. Look what's happening to our own country. We're redefining the family. Two men living together. Two women living together. We're redefining the whole institution of marriage. And I'll guarantee you the wisdom of man is going to bring this nation down. It's going to destroy it. The wisdom of man is foolishness. You saw that in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Man is impressed with his wisdom. God's not. And that's why we have to know this book and have this book as the guide of our life. This book used to guide our Supreme Court, not any longer. This book used to guide our judicial system, not any longer. This book used to guide our educational system, not any longer. Are you surprised where we are? I'm not. So these things are so vital that we're seeing here in Leviticus 18 and 1 Corinthians to the very structure of people. The satisfaction. Look how many people are under stress, anxiety, depression. Look at the increase in suicides. Look at the increase in drugs. Why do you think these things are happening? People are not stable in and of themselves. They need a stabilizer. They need drugs. They need alcohol. They need these other things now because they don't have it in their own soul, in their own relationship with God, their own relationship with one another. And when you don't have it, you got to find it somewhere, people. And we're going to eventually have marijuana legal. We're going to have so many things legal because Americans are just getting more and more in trouble. More and more discouraged, disillusioned, suicides, all these things are increasing. Why? Because we've abandoned our relationship with God. We've abandoned our relationship with one another. And these things have an effect on the soul. That's the great issue. They have effect on the soul. So, he's talking about the ruin of their bodies. But is the body ruined? No, people, the body is not ruined. But what you've done, you've damaged their soul. Let me give you an extreme example. Extreme example. Let's take a case of true rape. That's devastating to a woman. That is devastating to a woman. Does it affect her body that much? No. Not that much, if any. What's happened to her soul? It's devastated her soul. It's desecrated her own soul. So people, this is what's going on in what we're talking about here. If you can understand it in that realm, how maybe the body isn't horribly affected, the soul is affected. And if you can understand it in that rape case, then take any case of immorality, it affects the soul. And it affects them differently. The woman is not in agreement, trying to hold on to her body. In the other case, the woman doesn't respect her body and just is promiscuous with it. Both will destroy her soul. Both have horrible impacts on her soul and her understanding of relationships. When a little girl is raped, they say, I've read enough cases where it really affects her whole sexual life the rest of her life, unless the Lord gets in there. What's going on here? Please learn. The body affects the soul affects the body. That's what's going on. Point 8. We have another key word. Verse 22. Look in verse 22. Another key word. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. There's our next word. Abomination. We've had lewdness, rival, defile, and now we have abomination. Increasing all order of offense before God. An abomination is a rejection of the design of God. Yes?
Are you saying abomination or
obomination? Tip me not! Oh, that's good. All right, this is abomination. And it deals with increasing effects of lewdness, defile, rival, and abomination. Increasing order of offenses before God. An abomination is a rejection of the design of God. That's what an abomination is. Illegitimate or wrongful sexual that's legitimate between a man and a woman, that's wrong. But it's not an abomination. God designed the body for the woman, the man's body, and the woman's body for the man. But people, when you get into abomination, you are distorting the very design of God. It rejects the design of God. It rejects the purpose of God. God did not design the male body for a male, or a female body for a female. I hate to be crude about this. I am not a mechanic. I'm not a carpenter, but I want to tell you something that I've learned just in a little case that I carry around in the garage that I don't like to open. A nut is not designed for a nut, and a screw is not designed for a screw. I do this with that, nothing happens. Now, give that, and it works. I can hold something together now. I can tell the difference. It's common sense. Nobody had to teach me that. It's common sense. But it's not common sense in the moral structure of our society. Or in the history of the world, by the way. We didn't invent homosexuality and lesbianism. Very powerful in the Roman Empire. Very powerful in Egypt. Very powerful in Canaan. But people, you have to understand, it is an abomination. It's an abomination against what God had designed. Lesbianism, homosexuality, a complete distortion of the soul. The complete distortion of the soul is rebellion against God. It's rebellion against God's design. It's a rejection of God's design. I don't care what you've done, God. I don't care what you planned, God. It is open rebellion of God. Oh, but we're getting away with it, aren't we? Look, there's nothing happening. Supreme Court's going to say it's fine. It's just really fine. Laws, states say it's fine. We're getting away with it. Are we? Are we getting away with it? No, we're not getting away with it right now. But I'll guarantee you, the time will come when God's going to call it in. That's all there is to that. So, the fact we're getting away with it, we're not getting away with anything, people. We're not getting away with anything. And this stupid wisdom of man, well, they can't help it. Let me tell you something, people. I'm heterosexual. Oh, so now I have a right just to go out and have sex with as many women as I want? No. Even if I believed that, which I don't, but even if I did, people, it's wrong. It's wrong. You're supposed to say no. Oh, a kleptomaniac can't help it. What? Just invite them into your home and your store. If you think they can't help it, just invite them in. Let them do it. We think a kleptomania is fine. It isn't fine. Can't help it. Doesn't justify anything. People, we have lost common sense because we've thrown out the Bible. We've lost common sense in the common law, which is biblical law, by the way. We've lost it. We're in severe trouble in this country. It's the complete distortion of the soul, rebelling against God, rebelling against God's design. And please, I want to remind you again, all of these are human relationships. We're interacting with one another. Relationship about men, relationship about women, relationship about children. Point nine. We have... Yes, in point eight, all right, we have lewdness, rival, defiled, and now abomination. And then in verse in point nine, we have two words in verse 23. Let's look at verse 23. Also, you shall not have intercourse with an animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. Now, we've already had defile. So, I don't understand how somebody can say it's wrong to get involved with animals, but it's not wrong to get involved in immorality. They both defile. They both defile. Make unclean, impure. Now, our new word here is perversion. Our new word is perversion. You know what perversion is? Improper mixture. Unnatural mixture. It goes right with abomination. Perversion, improper mixture, unnatural mixture. To use someone or something in a way that it was not intended nor designed. Not only is a woman's body not designed for another woman, it's not designed for an animal. It's designed for a man. One man, not men. These are just simple things that this country used to believe. These are not new and profound. Our country was built on these kinds of principles. Any questions? Point 10. There's one other word that I want to draw your attention to in regard to immorality, especially incest. Look at chapter 20, verse 17. Chapter 20, verse 17. I almost started spending our time reading chapter 20 and 21, but chapter 19, I think, is about all we can take of morality in one immorality in one morning. So, but I'd like you to look at chapter 20 and look at verse 17. If there is a man who takes his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, sister-in-law, so that he sees her nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, it is a disgrace. And they shall be cut off in the sight of the sons of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He bears his guilt. So here we have a new word, disgrace. Disgrace. You know, we don't have very many things that disgrace us in this country anymore. Pedophile is about the last standhold on being disgraced. The word disgrace means reproach. Disgrace from God. Disgrace from among people. So we have lewdness, rival, defiled, abomination, perversion, and disgrace. There's a nice report on immorality and morality. You include those words. Each of these offenses listed in chapters 18 through 20 come with declared judicial treatment from God. Declared judicial treatment from God and from the camp of the Jews. Everyone from community, shame, are everywhere, from community shame, being sent out of the community, all the way to death. Many of these are punishable by death. So we have to see how all this fits in the framework of what Paul is saying in to the Corinthians. So let's turn now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Any questions on Leviticus? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not occur even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. All right? Let's go some summaries of this passage, this verse. One, yes, this is the church age. This is not the age of Israel. This is the church age, not the age of Israel. Excuse me one moment, Jerry. There's y'all's two chairs right there with books in them. All right. This is the church age, not the age of Israel. But people, immorality is immorality. You're dealing with relationships of people. You're dealing with the relationship of the soul and body of people. Immorality is immorality. Doesn't depend on the dispensation. Regardless if you have the law or not. Doesn't even matter about that. It does not matter if you have the law or not. We're seeing this in Romans. Look at Romans chapter 2 a moment. Romans chapter 2. Not Romans 5, Romans 2. Romans 2, and let's read verse 12. Let's read verse 12. For all who have sinned without the law will perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law are justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively by the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternating between cursing or defending themselves. So people, these are natural things. It's just like the screw and the nut principle. It's just natural. This is my father's wife. This is my sister, my sister-in-law. This is my cousin. This is another man. This is another woman. It's just the common sense of the thinking of man. So, point one has nothing to do with the law. Regardless of the law, these things are a law unto man. Point two. Immorality cannot be tolerated by any assembly. Now we're getting into church discipline. Immorality cannot be tolerated by any assembly. But as we're going to see, how it is handled is the crucial issue. How you handle immorality in the church assembly. How you deal with it. What you do. How you do it. And those are the things we're going to be looking at. Point three. Remember, morality is based on relationships. And the assembly of believers is based on relationships. The assembly of believers is based on relationships. Each of us should have our relationship with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each of us should have our own relationship with the Word of God. But when we come together, have relationships with one another. And remember our study from Leviticus 19? Morality is based on relationships. Therefore, as we're seeing in Romans 5, whenever we're speaking of sin, immorality, we must also speak of God and His grace. We're going to see where grace fits into this whole issue. Okay? Incest. There's just way too much information on incest in this country and in the world. I was flabbergasted when I went on the internet search about incest. And if you have nothing to do and want to get sick, you can do the same thing. It is unbelievable in this country and in the world. It is a hot subject in the study of religions. The founders of Mormonism supported incest. Joseph Smith, very much for incest. And they just felt that build a church from within, I guess, is a horrible way to say it. But that's their deal. And it's just unbelievable. And it is a hot study among non-religion sociology. Even if one leaves out an estimated 1 in 4 girls are sexually abused by their fathers from infancy, I don't understand that. I do not. That does not comprehend to me. My mind cannot understand that. But the 1 in 4 girls are sexually abused by their fathers from infancy all the way up. And even if we leave out sexual rapes by brothers and sisters, half-brothers, brothers-in-laws, and all the rest of it, incest is extremely high in this country. Just leave out all incestuous rapes and just deal with volunteered incest. We could spend months on the study of incest. It is remarkable how much of it is going on and is condoned in this country. Now, what is wrong with incest? What is wrong with incest? An older woman agrees to have sex, she's married to the man's the boy's father, have sex with, say, a young man. What's wrong with this? Point one, the Bible forbids it. End of discussion. The Bible forbids it. And that's the way we believe here. That's the way I believe. The Bible forbids it. That's all there is to it. Today in the 21st century, so many problems are related and they resulted from incest, from stress, anxiety, depression, guilt, shame, suicide. The reading of incest in this country is a horrible, pitiful ending. I did not find one that was, this just ended in a wonderful thing. It ends in shame. It ends in guilt. It ends in suicide. All kinds of problems. Incest. Why would anyone get involved in it? It's forbidden. It's forbidden naturally. Many societies through history of the world have forbidden incest. The Roman Empire forbid incest. So why would anyone get involved in incest? Why would anyone get involved in homosexuality? Why would anyone get involved in bestiality? Why would these things even happen? Point one. Every member of the human race possesses an inherited sin nature. Please never forget that. Every member of the human race possesses an inherited sin nature and possesses it after salvation. After we're saved, we continue to have and possess an inherited sin nature. Two, this inherited sin nature, the flesh nature, has 5 essential characteristics. Don't forget these. How could anyone get involved in incest? How could anyone get involved in bestiality? How could anyone get involved in homosexuality, lesbianism? How could anyone get involved in any of these travesties of morality? Okay, here's why. Our inherited flesh nature, our inherited sin nature, it is continually being corrupted, Ephesians 4:22. There's one bad thing about growing really old. Your old sin nature, your inherited sin nature has gotten worse, not gotten better. It is continually being corrupted. Secondly, it is most deceitful. It deceives you. These things are okay. All these horrible, lewd perversions, abominations, these are okay. It deceives you. Jeremiah 17:9. And I think probably the worst thing about the inherited sin nature, it is incurably sick. Incurably. I think one of the worst things you can have, I've got cancer. Well, what about it? Well, it cannot be cured. That's a horrible statement. This cannot be cured. Well, let me tell you something. Your inherited sin nature cannot be cured. It is incurably sick. Jeremiah 17:9. It is full of evil. Anti-God. It is full of evil. Ecclesiastes 9:3. And then my favorite description from the Bible of the inherited sin nature is from Ecclesiastes 9:3. It is insane. That explains it. That explains bestiality, homosexuality, all abominations, perversions, all these things. The sin nature we all possess is flat insane. And what is insanity? Insanity is a divorce from reality. That's an insane person. An insane person is one who is divorced from reality. So, that a male's body is made for a male, that's insanity. But, we all have that in our sin nature. You got to remember this. You can never forget that everyone has the inherited sin nature. And is capable of worse perversions, incest, homosexuality, bestiality. And as we're going to see, knowing there is a God, Creator, and believing in Him is one way of controlling the inherited sin nature. Even unbelievers in early American history were influenced by the Bible. Even early Americans that were not even believers. Well, the Bible says we shouldn't do that. In fact, we were watching a movie the other night, and it was a beautiful movie with Richard Dreyfuss, and I'd never seen it before. And he was estranged from his wife, and they were back together and all this. And she looked at another man, and she says, by the written word, I belong to him. Christianity, Bible, was not what this movie was about at all. And that just jumped right out at me. That just jumped out at me. And that's the way it used to be, people. Well, according to the Bible, this is wrong. And that's all that needed to be said. This is the Bible. But when you chunk the Bible, when you discredit the Bible, then you discredit all of these important things of the Bible. Now, I've got just a couple more, so let me finish. 3, the inherited sin nature produces a righteousness of its own. And this is what pleases man. The inherited sin righteousness produces a righteousness, Isaiah 64:6, which satisfies selves. Deception of the inherited sin nature. Many people get involved in gross immorality, abominations, perversions, but they have their own area of righteousness, and their sin nature is deceitful. It deceives them into thinking they're okay. And then 4, there are so many aspects of the inherited sin nature. Everyone has an inherited sin nature, which has areas of weaknesses and strengths and trends and lust. Every one of you do. You may be pious and no one can see yours. It's in your head. You're arrogant. You're proud. You're self-righteous. Others aren't so fortunate. Theirs can be seen. So I want you to understand, everyone has an inherited sin nature, produces self-righteousness. 4, there are aspects of the inherited sin nature, weakness, strengths, trends, and lust. And finally, five, every discussion of the inherited sin nature must include two significant doctrines for the Christian: eternal security and divine discipline. To do any proper study of the inherited sin nature, it must include divine discipline and eternal security. You cannot lose your salvation, no matter how perverted or abominable you may be in your life. You cannot lose it. It is yours because of who and what Christ is, not because of you. But there's also divine discipline. Any questions? Okay, we will pick it up here next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer.
Thank goodness for grace.
Amen. Amen. Study that sin nature, and boy, you just thank God for it all the time. Father, we thank you so much for grace. We thank you so much that you're a God of grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that when we don't deserve it, we receive your mercy. We receive your grace. Father, I pray you'll take the things we've seen this morning, our morality and immorality, and them settle in our souls, become a reality in our souls and in our lives and communication with our children, with others, Father, and guide us in our own life with one another. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.